I'd like to read to you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me. And I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him up to Jerusalem and placed them on a high pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on the hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your feet against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test." And when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. May the word of God sink deep down and bring forth much fruit. The word of God for the people of God. There's a little boy who came home and he was soaking wet. His father was upset with him because he told him not to go swimming. And so he said, "Son, why would you disobey me? I told you not to go swimming." And his son said, "Dad, the devil made me do it, but I promise I won't do it again." His father thought about it for a few seconds and he says, "The next time that thought comes into your mind, you tell the devil, get thee behind me." So his son said, "All right." The next day he shows up at home, soaking wet. And his father just couldn't believe it. He says, "We had this talk. Why in the world did you disobey me?" And the boy says, "Daddy, I did exactly what you told me to do. I told Satan, get thee behind me, and he pushed me in." We can all be tempted, amen? My brother would kill me for telling this story, but I'm going to tell it. He called me one day and he said, "Man, you won't believe what happened to me." I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "The police impounded my car from the highway and just left me on the highway." I said, "They impounded your car from the highway?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, why did they pull you over?" "Well, the taillight was out." I said, "Did you know the taillight was out?" "Yeah, but I was going to get it fixed." I said, "Well, what else did they tell you?" "They told me I couldn't take plates from another car and put on this car." And I said, "So you mean the car wasn't properly registered?" And he said, "Well, no, but I was going to get that done too." But man, the devil sure is busy. I said, "No, I don't think the devil is busy. I think that was all you." So when people tell you that the devil is busy, I want you to listen in close. Amen? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we ask for your presence. Pray that you would come now and hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Lord, you know that I'm a broken vessel, but I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to challenge your thinking with the thought, fighting temptations. Fighting temptations. Not like the little boy in the story that I shared with you. Or blaming someone else like my brother, that the devil sure enough is busy. But your question today might be, why is talking about temptations important? Why are we talking about Jesus and temptations? I think it's important because when Jesus went into the wilderness, the first point I want you to know is it said that the Spirit led him into the wilderness where he was tempted. Sometimes we pray prayers like, take the struggle away. And Jesus didn't pray that. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted. The beauty is that though he was tempted, he was without sin and without compromise. And the reason why we want to talk about this today is because we all struggle with temptations. Temptations are a part of life. We have the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. And these are the same ways in which Satan will come to try to frustrate us as well. But here's what I want you to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so that you can endure it. Basically, the scripture is telling us that we can be victorious even though we're tempted. Amen? Because God promised to be with us, and he will provide a way out for us. But temptations are a part of life. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Does that make sense to you? That because we belong to God, it ought to look a little different. Amen? So Jesus is in the wilderness, and Satan comes to him, and he says, if you're the Son of God, change these stones into bread. Isn't it interesting how he says if when he knows that he is the Son of God? And it really alludes to the fact that he knows that Jesus has the power to change those stones into bread if he chose to. But notice how Jesus dealt with him. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He used scripture to fight the battle. And that's what we have to do. But the first thing is we got to get some scripture down in us. Amen? For some of us, maybe our Bibles are in a nice location in the house with a little thin veneer of dust on it. And we got to open that baby up and begin to read. And let the word of God just fill us. Just like when we eat food, we need to be fed spiritually so that we can be discerning when the enemy will come. How many of you know that the enemy will come? Oh, just a few of you have been to Sunday school, but it's okay. And then we have the first temptation. Let me go back. The first temptation is talking about the lust of the flesh. I thought about times when I didn't know God. I didn't think about sin. I didn't think about evil. I just lived my life. It's okay, you can answer. It's God calling. But I thought about times when I didn't know God. I just lived my life the way I wanted to live my life, and I didn't think about sin. And then when I became a Christian, there's this pressure because we want to live for God. We want to live this life as best we can. But here's one of the things that we got to get, is we got to get some scripture down in us. We need the word in order to combat the enemy. How many of you know what I'm talking about? My grandmother used to say, "Boy, what you got in your back pocket?" And the first time I said, "Oh, well, I got this." And she said, No. You need some word. And so when we would go to grandma's house, you had scripture shower. Anybody know what scripture shower is? Where she would line us up, my brothers, and we had to quote scripture. And she would start out by saying, "And don't say Jesus wept," because that was my favorite. But what she was trying to do was to teach us how important it was to learn the Word of God so that it would feed us for a lifetime. Scouts, I know that you know what I mean when I say that we need to trust God, because scouts are trustworthy and they're loyal and they're helpful. The second temptation, the devil took Jesus up to a high place and he showed him all the worldly kingdoms. "And all of this belongs to me, but if you bow down and you worship me, I will give it to you." And notice how Jesus replied. He replies with scripture from Deuteronomy 6:16, stating it this way. "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." This is the pride of life. And the pride of life is anything that leads to arrogance, to flashiness, to pride in ourselves, to being presumptuous, boasting. Anything that leads us to love the things of the world more than we love the things of God. And sometimes it happens to us. We don't mean for it to happen, but it just happens. We get the car, but we got to get the better car. We get the boat, and we need a bigger boat. We get the house, and we need a bigger house. And it's just this vicious cycle. And we become lovers of stuff. Are you with me? Rather than the love of God. And Satan knows just how to do it. You see, he uses our own desires in order to trick us into being self-reliant, to believe that we can do it. I'm so grateful for the scouts this morning, because I believe that they know what I mean when I talk about not just loving this world, but being able to love the things of God, because scouts are courteous and kind and obedient. We could learn from the scouts this morning. Amen? And then scripture says that he took him to Jerusalem. And he took him to the highest pinnacle. And he told him to throw himself off this place, because scripture says that angels will come to your aid and they will rescue you, and not even your foot would dash a stone. And Jesus responded with scripture once again. And he says, we should not tempt the Lord our God. The lust of the eyes. Eyes can get us in trouble. I think King David would know what I mean when I talk about the lust of the eyes, because he saw Bathsheba and he had to have her. Not only did he have to have her, but he wound up killing her husband. I think David would have said, I wish I could have plucked my own eyes out. I think that Samson would know what I mean when I talk about the lust of the eyes. When he saw Delilah, he had lost it all. And there he was being blinded. I know he wished that he could pluck his eyes out and not go down that path. I think that Eve would know what I mean when I talk about the lust of the eyes, when Satan came to her and took her to the tree of good and evil, and she ate from the forbidden tree. We all have times when we've had regret. Amen. But what Jesus wants us to know is how to fight the good fight, how to fight temptation. And one of the ways we do that is we got to get the Word of God deep down inside so that we too can fight the enemy. Going to church is important too. Are you with me? Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Somehow when I'm with you, Althea, I just feel the God in you and it motivates me. And I want to talk about faith. I want to talk about God. Are you with me? Sometimes you can come to church and not even have it on your mind. And all of a sudden you hear something that inspires you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you come to church and it's the pure fellowship of seeing someone smile at you that you've been looking forward to seeing. Something about going to church. And there's those who say, well, you know, I don't need church. I mean, I can serve God without going to church. Anybody ever heard that? That's the trick of the enemy. That's the trick of the enemy, because what the enemy wants to do is to get us by ourselves and just keep attacking us. And you know, most folks don't go astray just outright. Sheep don't go astray outright. They go astray nibble by nibble. And before you know it, they're in the far country. And it happens to us. No, I'm not going this Sunday. I just feel like relaxing. I've been working hard. I'm just going to relax. And before you know it, it's been 3 months of you relaxing without darkening the doors of the church. We need each other. Amen. There's something about going to church. He says, where two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. But look how many we got today. He's in the midst of us. Amen. Oh, y'all not with me. I'm a Marine. You got to talk back to me. He's in the midst of us. Amen? Amen. He's in the midst of us. Amen? Amen. And so everything that we need is right here. God's got it for us. And he's telling us, you can fight the enemy and you can win. He's given us the recipe. But here's what I want you to know. Scripture says, and Satan left him for an opportune time. He's coming back. He's coming back. We need spiritual strength in order to fight the enemy. We need spiritual strength in order to discern when the enemy's coming. I need him. I don't know about you, but I need him. And I'm not good when I don't get together with brothers and sisters and pray. How many of you in a prayer group? How many of you got a prayer partner, some accountability? How many of you study a devotion, read the Word of God? See, those are the things that's going to feed us. That's how we're going to defeat the enemy. Next time I see you, I'm going to ask, what's in your back pocket? Amen? And hopefully you'll be able to quote a scripture, something that you can hold on to. One of these days, I'm going to demonstrate with you what scripture showers is like and how you can just put it on the refrigerator and learn a small scripture. And before you know it, you don't even realize it. When something happens, that's the very scripture that you will use. I'm in the hospital with folks all the time. I don't know everything there is to know, but I always have something in my back pocket. Amen. And I get on that elevator and I pray and I say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to encounter, but you do. And I just want to be used today. I just want to be a blessing to the person that I have to see. Season my mouth with grace. You give me the words that I might do your will this day. And I go in and I believe that he can use me. And God does. So my friends, that's what I want to share with you. But I think that the scouts know what I mean, because scouts are cheerful and thrifty and brave and reverent. We need to be reverent too. Amen. We need to give God deference. We need to ascribe more of ourselves to God. Are you with me? Am I making any sense? Because some of you are looking at me a little funny. But I'm so grateful for the Word of God. I'm telling you, it will fill your life with joy. The very thing that you think that you're missing is in a relationship with God. No one can make you happy. Are you with me? Happiness is an inside job. But the more we get closer to God, the more that joy becomes full. And that's where happiness comes from. A spouse can't make you happy. I know it's Valentine's Day. Only God can do that. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? And Daniel's going to lead us in prayer. And the reason why we take the hand of the person next to us is we never know what that person is going through. But God says, where two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of him. Even as Daniel prayed, whatever it is that you came in with today, whatever burden it is that you came in with today, give it to God. Let him have his way.
Let us bow our heads. Dear God, our fortress and our Redeemer, in you we trust, and to you we lift up our worries and troubles. And because of you, we gather in this place as the one body of your Son, Jesus Christ, during the season of Lent. Let us refocus ourselves on you. Let us not be tempted to put something above you. As we read today, Jesus, during his time of going without, he was tempted by evil powers to succumb to worldly desires and to lose focus on you. Jesus resisted that temptation. Jesus remained attuned to you, his spiritual bread, the source of his life. Your grace is needed in our world and in our lives this day. Lent is a time of when we ask, how long, O Lord? Our hearts ache for the numerous people that lay dead or in critical condition due to a 60-car pileup in Lebanon County, Pennsylvania. Our minds become clouded with politics and draw our attention away from your love. Anger overcomes us when we hear that 52 people lay dead in Mexico City due to a prison riot. We remain in darkness as we lament for the 94 dead from the earthquake in Taiwan. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers this day. Our spirits are broken. But we must remember ourselves that the perfect sacrifice to you is a broken and contrite heart. The Lenten season is a time when we dwell in the darkness of our mortality and seek the light of your everlasting peace. Be with those who are tempted. Be with those who need your comfort and love, and shine your light bright into this world of darkness and pain. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer found in our bulletins, with these thoughts and wishes upon our hearts, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.